Thanks, Rita, and good afternoon. I'm glad to be here. I am going to focus on the food side of FDA's situation today, and I know Peter, who it's putting it lightly to say that he's the dean of the Washington Food and Drug Bar. The slightly disturbing thing for me is when I started out as a staff lawyer at FDA back in the late 70s, he was the dean of the Food and Drug Bar then. He hasn't aged. I feel that I have, and but it's great to see Peter here. Peter has done work that really relates, and I think we'll talk about work that relates to the agency as a whole, and I think it's very important, it'll help flesh out the discussion that I'll provide that's focused on the food side. As Rita indicated, she has asked us to sort of focus on what are the problems, what's the state of play. I mean, on food safety, it's easy to give a very optimistic talk, actually, about food safety, and it's in part because the problems have been so profound, but the realization of these problems has now really arrived in Washington in a very important way, and I think we are on the brink of some very significant change in the food program at FDA to address these fundamental problems of statutory authority and resources, among other problems. But follow Rita's a suggested series of questions. Let me really first focus on what I think are the sort of key failures in the program as it's been operating over the last few years. And the first and the most fundamental one is, and this really goes back decades. This is the historic failure or failing of the system at FDA. Is it's a system that's based largely on reacting to problems rather than preventing them. And everybody knows from a public health standpoint and specifically from a food safety standpoint, we're going to do the best job if we are systematically working to prevent problems rather than reacting to them after they occur. And we've seen this in the FDA arena of late with these large outbreaks, multi-state outbreaks of illness associated with produce, fresh produce, spinach and lettuce, the peanut outbreak, another example. I mean, these are preventable problems that the system did not function to prevent, and I think that lack of prevention is sort of the core failing. Another critical issue that has come to the fore, and this has really blossomed over the last decade but been very visible of late, and that's the import problem and the fact that we increasingly rely on imports of food. Certain commodities like seafood, we get as much as 3/4 of the supply of seafood in this country from overseas. Our ability to really oversee that well is extremely limited. The whole issue of China in particular has been visible. Everything from animal drug residues in fish to problems with melamine in food products. And so the import situation is another real gap in the agency's program. Another thing that I would point to, and it's cross-cutting, it's not just food, but it's a fundamental issue, and that is an erosion, and I think you've seen this over the last decade in particular. It's something that does fluctuate over time, but it's really the erosion of the will and capacity, and it's both will and capacity to set and enforce standards that the industry is required to meet. In the food safety area, there have been efforts at standard setting for prevention. I was at FDA the second time working for David Kessler. We issued regulations requiring preventive controls for seafood processors. That's the last major food safety standard setting activity that FDA has undertaken. It's done a lot of providing of guidance, trying to kind of encourage voluntary efforts, but there's been a real shortage of setting and enforcing standards. So what explains, why is this the state of play? And let me now go to the second question Rita asked us to address, which is, what are the causes of these failures? And I really come fundamentally to Congress and the responsibility of Congress for failing to give FDA the authority that it needs, the mandate that it needs, and the accountability for having a truly public health-oriented, prevention-oriented food safety program. The basic law that FDA implements to control pathogens in food, for example, was really enacted in 1906. It was updated in 1938, but not in a way that significantly enhanced the agency's authority. And it's really a tool that says if FDA can go out and find the problem and prove that there's a possibility of people getting sick, it can remove particular lots of food from from Commerce. And as I've said, the the agency has used rulemaking authority to extend that to some extent in limited circumstances. But these are basically obsolete, very obsolete statute that the agency operates under. The second fundamental issue, really explanation of the failures, is resources, and I hope Peter will talk more about that. But in relation to, particularly in relation to the magnitude of the job that FDA is expected to do, its resources simply haven't kept up, and this is really manifested in the declining science capacity of the agency, really losing the sort of leading edge science capacity that it needs to be successful on food or any other topic. But it's also, the resource issue also has big implication for this capacity to set and enforce standards, because if you don't have the staff to set standards, if you don't have the staff to conduct inspections and enforce standards, you're simply not able to perform that central responsibility. The last sort of explanation for the failure, though, and again coming back to the issue of why aren't we regulating more, to some extent, I mean, this goes way beyond FDA. This is a political problem. This is a political issue where FDA simply hasn't had the political support to set and enforce standards. So in the case of produce safety, for example, despite the industry coming in over 2 years ago and asking FDA to please promulgate mandatory enforceable standards on the farm for food safety, for produce production and processing, and FDA being more than willing to do that, they simply were prevented from going forward with that rulemaking by the Office of the Secretary at the Department of Health and Human Services. So we can focus on the agencies, and there are a lot of fundamental problems at FDA, but clear message is it needs political support to be able to do the job, and it has not had that historically. So what needs to happen? And I think the definition of the problems does pretty much also point towards the solutions that really need to happen. The first is, of course, a modern law that would give FDA a mandate for prevention and would give the agency the tools that it needs, the legal tools and the accountability to set and enforce standards, defining the industry's duty to prevent problems so that the system undergoes a paradigm shift from the agency running around trying to detect and correct problems after they've occurred to enforcing the duty of the industry to prevent these problems in accordance with clearly defined and enforceable standards. Second rescue need really is some way to address the resource problem. Part of the good news of what's going on now is that the president has requested significant increase for FDA's food program. The agency has actually gotten a couple of nice bumps in resources over the last couple of years as this capacity problem has come to the fore, again, in part because of the work that Peter and the FDA Science Board did. The question going forward, though, is how do you have a sustainable solution to FDA's resource problem? And one of the issues being debated today is whether there's a role for industry fees, registration, facility registration fees, for example, as a way to supplement the base of appropriated resources. That's an issue that's on the table and I think needs discussion. And then finally, what's really required, and this again comes back to political will as much as anything, is a sustained commitment, to making this paradigm shift to prevention and to building the systems both within FDA and in its working relationship with USDA, CDC at the federal level, with state and local health departments and regulatory agencies. There's a real system building need here, and that's going to happen only if there's a sustained political, congressional, public commitment to making that happen. There's just a horrible tendency, as I think everybody in this room certainly knows, for the pendulum to swing, kind of wildly in this city. Somehow we have to find a way to sort of institutionalize a commitment to that sort of long-term system building so that FDA can implement an effective program. So this brings me to the question of sort of, how a new executive order for reg review might relate to FDA's problems and the solutions in the food area. And I guess it's pretty obvious that my perspective would be that while there are a lot of important issues to discuss about the manner of reg review, it is simply not at the heart of the issue for FDA. It's got much bigger problems. I think importantly, the solution to FDA's substantive problem of lack of authority to make this paradigm shift to prevention, solving that problem is also going to have a large positive effect on its relationship with OMB and its ability to deal with the regs review process. Because it's one thing if FDA, as was the case with seafood HACCP, is having to bootstrap current authority to try to do a regulation to be preventive on an industry-specific basis, and then having to justify that in a sort of a de novo way, when a lot of the reasons for doing it are sort of social value reasons, public confidence reasons, industry confidence reasons, very hard to include in the standard cost-benefit analysis. You know, that's a very difficult task for FDA, and it gives OIRA an enormous amount of leverage in the process. If Congress makes the legislative, the social value judgment that every company should have modern preventive controls and be held accountable for meeting an acceptable standard of preventive control for food safety, then FDA's job is to be sure that's implemented well. And sure, there's a lot of good analysis we can do to be sure we're implementing it well, but FDA is not in the position of having to fight the de novo battle of, you know, whether we should have preventive controls or not. And so, so this is why I would, again, happy to talk about the past experiences working the OIRA process for both FDA and USDA. It's a challenging process. It can definitely be improved. But I guess my bottom line is that it's not really at the heart of the issue for food safety reform. So with that, I have no idea how long I talked, but I will sit down. Perfect. Thank you.